The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Are you looking for some good, clean positivity? Good, me neither. I'm Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, a weekly comedy podcast dedicated to talking about everything we love to hate. I searched my whole life to find my passion. Little did I know, I had been practicing my true talent every single day. Complaining. Join me every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer our weekly questions and for a chance to be featured on the show. See you there.
Hey guys, it's Sammy.
And Sammy, and welcome to Transform, your safe space to form the best version of you.
There are going to be a lot of laughs, and oh boy, a lot of tears.
But we are so grateful to be alongside you in your journey to transform.
Ooh, here we go.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, my loves, and welcome back to another Transform episode. I could not be more honored to have our very special guest, Sarah Baldwin, on today. Sarah Baldwin, if you do not know, is a somatic experiencing practitioner, a trauma-informed life coach, a somatic attachment theory and inner child-trained practitioner, and so much more. We dive into the six phases of the nervous system, somatic healing, how to combat trauma, the only way to get over something is to actually move through it, and truly that we are the light at the end of our own tunnel. I get a little emotional in this episode. I have been such a fan of Sarah for so long, following her over on Instagram. And I'm just so grateful that she met us today on this episode and shared her heart and shared so much of her own journey, as well as the tools that she uses to really feel our best selves. Let's dive in. Make sure you follow Sarah. And I'm so excited for you to enter this episode. Sarah, I am so honored and excited to have you here today. I was just sharing with you that actually my fiance JT sent me your Instagram. I was in this journey in therapy where I started to learn a little bit about the nervous system, and I feel like I did not know anything about it. And she started using language like fight or flight and, you know, how in tuned are you with your body? How do you know when you're listening to your body or your mind? And I was fascinated by all of this. And so JT actually sent me your page and I went down the whole rabbit hole. I was like, this woman is amazing. So I'm so excited to jump in and so grateful you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be with both of you.
So excited you're here. Truly with Sammy and I in partnership and business, best friends, everything. Anything that she taps into, I also just love to explore. And when Sammy sent me your Instagram, I did the same whole rabbit hole situation. And honestly, I think I would love to start with the kindergarten lesson for someone who might relate to myself in not having done a lot of work in the nervous system space personally or really understand what somatic is yet. Could you give us like truly the kindergarten version of what you do?
Yeah, of course. Well, I think most people in the world have no idea what it is. And that's really not a fault of the general public. It's a fault of my field, mental health. Mm-hmm. Because most people, when you think about therapy, you think about talk therapy. It's like really the thing that people think that's the only way that you can get support with your emotional world. And the thing is, this nervous system, it's our autonomic nervous system, actually, it lives in our body, which means it's subcortical or below the thinking brain. And so that means essentially that the language of the nervous system is not a cognitive language. So meaning it doesn't understand communication verbally. Which is why, if you've ever had anxiety, like that's a rhetorical question, obviously, we've all had anxiety, and you're feeling kind of anxious and you notice it and then you try to talk yourself out of it. Mm. Like someone's having social anxiety or maybe there's public speaking and they're like, just calm down, there's nothing to be anxious about, like you're fine, this is going to be okay. And then the anxiety keeps building. Mm. Or the hopelessness builds or the shame builds, whatever, all of these are in the felt sense. And that's because we're trying to speak a verbal language to a system that literally cannot hear it. Mm. Because it's not connected to our prefrontal cortex where language occurs. So if you've gone to talk therapy, which sometimes I feel like, man, I'm making it sound like I'm really hard on talk therapy. Mm-hmm. There's a place for it and an importance to it. But if we're trying to do things like resolve shame, change our attachment in our relationships, change how we feel in our bodies, mm-hmm. you can't do that through talking. Mm-hmm. Because the nervous system, which is the system responsible for all of those things, can't hear that language. So the language of the nervous system is called somatics. Essentially, that's the language of the felt sense. So like a very simple example is you're both drinking coffee at 4:30 p.m., which I'm super impressed by the way.
Oh,
I wouldn't
goodness.
Be able to do that.
Just to say, this is not our normal. We told Sarah when she walked in, we're like, we've had a really big day, an exciting day, so it is 4 p.m.
Yes.
and we're drinking coffee, but not the norm.
Impressive.
But needed. Very
yes.
needed.
So really simple analogy here. So let's say you're going to take a cognitive course on coffee. I'm sure it exists somewhere. You can probably do it. And you don't ever drink coffee. You just learn about it. So you read about the origins of it and how long it takes to, I don't even know the process of coffee making, but whatever, the whole process of it. You can learn about that. And you could do that for years. You could become, you know, a historian in coffee. That's a cognitive version of understanding of coffee. Now, the program I would teach would be none of that. We would try coffee, and I would have you drink it. And as you had a drink, I would ask you to notice what that was like. What did it taste like? What did it feel like? Was it warm? Was it cold? Did you have creamer in it? And so on and so forth. So that's an embodied experience. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, the difference
yeah.
between the two?
Yeah, totally.
No, that makes
one's
complete
cognitive,
sense.
One's embodied. And so to speak to our nervous system, we have to learn its language, which is the embodied language or somatics, which is a language that, again, has no verbal context or component to it. And the nervous system, our autonomic nervous system, which, again, lives in our bodies, is the most important thing any human being could know about, and none of us were taught it.
Mm.
Wow.
When I say it's the most important thing, that is because it is responsible at any given moment of our lives, literally any moment, for every thought you've ever had. Your nervous system is creating that. It's responsible for every sensation in your body. So if you feel butterflies in your stomach, tensions, heat, tingling, all of the feeling numb, disconnected, it's responsible for that. It's responsible for every feeling you've ever had. So joy, openness, creativity, abundance, hopelessness, sorrow, pain, all of it, it's responsible for that. This one's wild. It's responsible for every behavior you ever have. So everything you've ever done in your life, or inhibited.
We can blame our nervous system.
Your nervous system is the
that's a good
foundation
excuse for me moving forward.
Making it all happen.
Wow.
It's responsible for how we perceive ourselves, so our experience of self, other people, how you perceive other people in the whole world around you. So it literally creates your whole experience. And there's only six states. They're called states, but think of it like experiences within the nervous system that you can be in at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us, all three of us, we're experiencing one of those six states right now.
Mm.
There's never been a moment of your life where you haven't.
Wow.
And then from that state that you're in, every feeling, thought, sensation, behavior, perception is influenced from that place. So that means that if we're not understanding this, I think of it like a vehicle that lives in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't understand the vehicle and we don't know how to drive the vehicle, then it takes over on cruise control. And that means that it's, for most people, it's making all of our decisions and choices and creating our experience. And we think that it's us really driving, running the show in our life. And a lot of the time it's not.
Wow. So how do we be our own driver of our nervous system?
Well, the first is we can't change what we don't understand, right? So
yeah.
There we have to understand the nervous system in order to get into the driver's seat of it. It's kind of like driver's ed. You have to understand the vehicle and then you get in the driver's seat. So there's six states, as I mentioned, and those are just experiences. And there's only two overarching real experiences within our nervous system, which is to experience it from a state of regulation, three states of regulation.
Mm.
And then there are three states of what's called dysregulation. That might be a term that people listening have heard before. Essentially, dysregulation, all that means is active self-protection.
Mm.
So your nervous system doesn't think you're safe and is trying to protect you.
Mm.
That's it. And I really believe the number one reason for human suffering and the perpetuation of trauma in our world is because we are experiencing and living life from a state of dysregulation.
Wow.
We're in Los Angeles. This is filled with people mm-hmm. whom have all of the things, the external things, But if they're perpetually experiencing dysregulation in your in their nervous system, you can't enjoy all of those things, mm-hmm. which is what a lot of people find themselves in. So the experience of that. So in order to have a full, happy life, we have to predominantly be experiencing regulation in our nervous system. And again, the only way to that is through understanding it and then getting in the driver's seat of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like everyone around me keeps getting sick, and I feel like I am just made of all of the strongest immunity because I have not gotten sick in over a year. And what I think for that is definitely my Armra colostrum. I take 4 scoops of Armra colostrum every single day. I just mix it into my giant Stanley water bottle with my cold water. I love the unflavored one. I don't taste it at all, but they also have some really yummy flavors. And truly, this has kept my immunity so strong. When I tell you everyone is dropping like flies, especially here in Austin, it's allergy season. Everyone is sneezing, coughing all around me, and I could not be healthier. I feel like my health is also my number one pillar of my happiness. So making and taking really great care of myself is number one priority for me always. It's really amazing in that it not only strengthens my immunity, but it also gives me this amazing boost of energy. I love taking my Armra colostrum first thing in the morning with my water and then actually going into my workout. It is kind of this like fun pre-workout for me. And this is before I'm even having coffee. So it really works. It helps with my energy. And again, I am not getting sick. It is making me have the strongest immune system ever. I think what's also really awesome is that Armra colostrum is actually a bioactive whole food. So it's not a supplement. You can think of it as this whole food that you're mixing in with your cold liquids, or you could dry scoop it into your mouth. You might have seen some people doing that on Instagram. I haven't gotten that far with it. I love just mixing it with my water. But if you haven't tried it yet, I'm so excited for you to try Armra colostrum. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/transform or enter transform to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/transform. Let me know if you try it. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see I take it every single day. I'm obsessed. I hope you will be too.
We all know that small actions can truly make the biggest difference in your life. And one of the biggest differences that I have seen is the small act of putting my phone outside of my bedroom when I sleep. It truly is making the biggest change for my sleep routine. Small actions can truly have the biggest benefits, like taking care of your gut. That really can be such a game changer for your overall well-being. That is exactly why I love taking Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Their benefits include gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I take 2 at the top of the morning on an empty stomach. They recommend taking 1 if you've never taken Seed before. I absolutely love them and have used them for 3 years. I really fell in love with the product when I really understood that our body is our ecosystem and great health truly starts in your gut. I also loved that they are so backed by science, a lot of science. DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. They also have the most incredible refill process. Literally, probiotics and prebiotics work best when we use them consistently. So they do it through subscription and truly just shows up at your door with no refrigeration needed. That is why I feel like you can just succeed so much with using Seed. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/transform and use code 25TRANSFORM to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/transform. Code 25TRANSFORM.
I
I feel like I'm so curious about you leaning into this specific area that we are all discovering now. And I'm so grateful for people like you that are speaking out about it and giving us this awareness to kind of have an understanding to so many situations that we maybe have not understood. Kind of gives us like this permission of being ourselves and diving into kind of, you know, why am I this way or what patterns have I learned and how can I be in that driver's seat? And what kind of got you to this place? Like, I just want to know for anyone who's like, how did you dive into the nervous system, somatics, inner child work? Like, how did you get here to know all of this goodness?
Yeah, in some ways I would say it wasn't entirely by choice. It was my choice. But what I mean by that is I have a complex trauma history, quite extreme. I experienced extreme neglect, poverty, and sexual abuse inside my home for the majority of my childhood. So just a very, very unsafe environment. There was no safety anywhere. And the result of that is the only option when you can't get away from imminent danger that you're trapped inside of for long periods of time, the only way to survive it is through being dysregulated, because it helps you. There's a state in our nervous system called our dorsal vagal complex. I could talk about it more in a minute, but essentially that's the state we go to when our system says, wow, this is really bad and I can't get us out of here. But what I can do, it's so beautiful, our nervous system does this. It says, I can't make this stop and I can't get away. But what I can do is I can help you leave your body so you don't have to feel the perpetual pain of what we can't make stop. When I learned the neuroscience behind this, many years, of course, decades after what happened to me happened, and feeling like I was so broken for most of my life, like I just felt like and I had so much shame about that, like I am so beyond repair. When I actually learned the science behind all of it, it for the first time in my life realized, no, I'm actually not broken. That's what science says. So I spent the majority of my life not functioning very well. When I was young, a strategy I had was like, just don't be in the house. So I overachieved in order to like get love at school and not have to be in my house at all, or I had to be there, but as little as possible. And then when I got a little bit older, usually this happens when you leave the environment that is really unsafe, a lot then will come up later. So I had suppressed everything, and then it started to come up in my early 20s.
How did that express itself?
How did it come up?
Yeah.
I was getting like severely depressed. I gained like 80 pounds in 3 months, was suicidal.
Wow.
Severe chronic illness, severely dissociated. Like I didn't know who I was. I might show up somewhere and not know how I got there. That's very severe dissociation.
When it was appearing, did you know it was connected to past trauma, or how did you kind of?
Because I didn't have, I had no parents. I mean, my mother is unsafe. My stepfather, who was abusive, was very unsafe. So I didn't have parents. I have an aunt and uncle who are like parents to me, but there wasn't like somebody to call. I didn't have that. So I didn't know. And I had suppressed, which is really common when you dissociate, to not remember what happened. And then it all started to bubble up and come out when I had safety. So once our nervous system has safety, then stuff can start arising. And that's what started to happen. And so it felt a little like there was no choice. And for me, it was either like, I'm not going to be on this planet anymore, or I have to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I think the idea of heaven and hell to me, hell is just trauma that you're trapped in.
Yeah.
And what I think heaven is the freedom from it. Mm-hmm. Like to be able to really be free and alive here. Like everything else is just like bonus, but to be able to just be present in our bodies and our life. So I started talk therapy, and that gave me a safe relational connection. Mm-hmm. My first safe connection with another human being. I didn't, I had some family, but first real deep, what's called a secure attachment. Mm-hmm. But it didn't resolve any of my trauma. And I kept, meaning I was still chronically ill, I was still deeply depressed, I was still having panic attacks, I was still not really functioning. And then I just got really hungry because I was like, I have to figure this out. Mm. It's either don't be here or figure it out. So then I went down like a lot of people do when it feels like there's no other option, lots of rabbit holes, and found somatic healing, which is the thing that is necessary for anyone who has attachment wounding, anybody who has trauma, which is everybody. And like nobody doesn't have trauma, to deal with our younger parts and all kinds of other things. So I found that work and it started to change my life in a profound way. And like who I presented like today is not who I spent a lot of my life as. And the statistics for people with histories like mine who thrive is so low, less than 1%. And if there's an ACE study, ACEs study, and so it's adverse childhood experiences, and and it gives a comorbidity rate. And anyway, for people with severe trauma histories, the ability to thrive is just statistically very, very low. But that is not because people don't have the ability. It's because they don't have the access to what's necessary. So people spend 30 years in talk therapy, and they'll really understand everything. But the more you know, like I was saying earlier, the more you know is not always the more you know. In fact, sometimes the more you know can feel debilitating.
Because
now it's like, I understand all this, but I can't change it, which
Is
what
agree.
I was experiencing.
Yeah.
And then somatic work like really saved my life, totally saved my life. And then I spent 10 years training, going back to school and doing all the things to facilitate this work for people.
I have two questions to all of that that you said, and I just want you to know I'm so grateful for you sharing your story. It's not passed lightly for us hearing it and you to know that. We're so grateful. So thank you.
Of course.
And I think, I don't know, I'm going to get emotional about it.
The reason why I feel that it's so important to share is because, and everyone listening, like, you don't have to have a history like mine for this work to help our lives.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why after healing it, why I devote my life to it, and there's nothing I will ever be more proud of in my life than the work that I've done to heal, ever. No, like, because it took everything that I had to do it. And what I feel so honored as the result of it is that my hope is that it can be a hope for everybody.
Yeah.
That, like, if it's possible for me, it's possible for all of us. Because we all have the same nervous system. And so it's, I appreciate you asking, because I think so much of the time in our world, when it comes to trauma, it's invisible. And again, we all have it.
Yeah.
To varying degrees.
Yeah.
And we're all really good at masking, because that's a survival response. So what I mean by that is, what I feel inside, I'm not congruent. So I might feel something, but I cover it up with something else externally. And that helps me to survive.
Yeah.
And so we go through the world, and I'm like, I'm at Erewhon. It's a grocery store, in case anyone doesn't know what that is. And I'm like, everyone seems fine.
Yeah.
But they're not all fine.
Yeah. We are all
We're
hiding from
all
it.
We're just all really, really good at covering up the loneliness or the anxiety or the pain or the shame. And so to me, to be able to say, hey, let me show you what's underneath there, I think it just can create, hopefully, for people, a reminder that we're not alone.
Yeah, I feel that so much. So thank you. Really, I appreciate it so much. And I feel like I'd love to know, when you stepped into somatics after doing talk therapy for so long, what were the first initial, you know, actions that you started to do to get to know, you know, that body, like talking to your body and understanding, okay, I've been doing so much talking, but body, how actually are you doing? And then a part two question to that is, I feel like I hear so much about how we actually need to allow ourselves to, our body, to have the emotion it didn't get to have before,
right,
because we did dissociate as,
which
I love how you said we needed to do that.
That's right.
So, you know, I think a lot of emotions can come up now in our adult years, and we're like, where is this coming from? And I even think for myself, being able to just feel a lot of the emotions I haven't felt when I was younger. So, yeah, I feel like, how did you step into saying, okay, this is my first step into somatics and talking with my body, or letting my body speak? And then also, how do you honor processing these, like, maybe really heavy emotions that didn't get to be processed before?
For me, in the process of it, because I was so dissociated, disconnect, which essentially disembodied, I was really disconnected, so much so where I would talk about my story and I felt nothing. And people would feel things, and I felt like, I'm not giving details right now, but pretty horrifying details, and I wouldn't feel anything, and people would cry, and I didn't know why. And that
What is going on, like, when that happens?
So that means, that's a sign or clue that you have a very powerful, wonderful nervous system that made sure that you left your body. Because to imagine if someone else is shedding tears over the story, imagine being the person who experienced the story. The level of overwhelm in a body is like a living hell. So our bodies say, we can disconnect you from that, don't worry, I can disconnect you totally from your truth.
And
from
is
you.
That a primal thing?
Yes.
Okay.
This is called our dorsal vagal complex. It's one of the six states, as I named, in our nervous system. it has a variety of, it's basically shut down. Think of it like a bear hibernating. And you only go there when your nervous system says, this is so bad, again, I can't leave or fight it. And so it's all about the disconnection. That's what it's really about. So we can survive the thing. And it starts with apathy. We all experience apathy. That's a dorsal experience. When I'm just like, I'm in a funk, I don't really care. Because each of these states has a wide range of experience. It's not just one thing. So this one starts with apathy, feeling in a funk. Then you start to feel disinterested, kind of hopeless. You feel exhausted all the time, even when you sleep. No, it's difficult to think. You feel separate from other people. Even though you want connection, it feels too much. You start to isolate. You feel depressed, all the way to deeply dissociated. And when we're here, we're disconnecting from our truth, our desires, our feelings. Because the feelings, we only go here when the feelings are so extreme that our body can't process it. So our nervous system's really cool that it can help us stay there if we need to, which is what mine did. So the first process, if that's someone's experience, is we have to teach our body that it's okay to be in our body now. And that can literally start with, if that's anybody listening, using all of the sensations you have access to experience them. Like, go in the sun and feel it on your face. Actually feel it, though. Not think about it. Feel it. What does that feel like? So that your body can see it is safe to be in the present moment and it is safe to be in your body. And then hear something and see something. And that's the entry point into coming into our embodied experience. The thing about trauma work is people think oftentimes it's this in self-help, like just go towards the fucking thing and like rip it open. And you know, and that is so, well, it's beyond unhelpful. It's re-traumatizing, which actually can imprint the trauma further. So it does the opposite of what we want to do.
Wow. Which I think talk therapy can bring up for so many is really like reliving the trauma that we've experienced. I have a question within that. If you are witnessing someone you love who is showing up and presenting as very dissociated, and to use your analogy of going out and truly feeling the sun, like as just a simple way to start feeling safe within your body, how would you communicate that to someone you love? Like if you could speak to your younger self almost and teach her all of this beautiful work that you've now experienced and embodied and have overcome, how do you communicate with your loved ones the steps necessary to finding that safety within themselves?
Well, something that I think I've been doing this work a long time, thousands and thousands of people, and it always blows my mind our ability to heal when we have the things we need to do it. Our systems want to. So the way that I start with, I feel like I'm a nervous system. I feel like I have this internal dialogue with my nervous system all the time, our nervous systems. I hope it doesn't mind that I advocate for it all the time. I speak on its behalf. But anyway, it's kind of weird. Now I seem like a nervous, children's show. But our nervous system, it's working really, really hard when we're dysregulated. So it's protecting us, right? That's its job, to actively protect us. That's like, imagine someone did an ultra marathon for 30 years. Someone did that. No one would say like, wow, you're weak. You're like, you're never going to amount to anything. Everyone would be interviewing them because they're the most incredible human being on the planet. What's actually happening in terms of our physiology when we're dysregulated is your nervous system is constantly working all the time, never stops. It can do it for decades. It will even eat our own muscle tissue for energy because it needs energy to actively protect us. It will do anything that it can do. So if our nervous system can be actively working, like if someone's running, they can stop, right? If you're running, you can clearly stop running. If someone wasn't running, we might be like, I don't know if you can run because you've just been sitting on the couch. But if you've been running, we know you can stop. If your nervous system has been actively protecting you and on the go, it can rest. It just has to know that it's safe to rest. That is literally all that I do. I help people to understand the system, and then we show it. We're actually in this present moment in 2024. We're not in 1985 anymore. We're here. And because it's safe here, you can rest. And then our nervous system says, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you feel really good. That's a moment of regulation. So the other thing that's really important to know is this work is not mystical. A lot of times it can feel like that. It's intangible and like, how do you heal? How the hell do you heal? Like, what does this look like? I've read every book on attachment and I don't know how to change my attachment. It's actually really practical. So our nervous system, we all have something called a vagal tone. And essentially that means the current shape of your nervous system. And as I said, there's six states. So we're all shaped in one of those six states. Some of us are shaped in that shutdown state I named. apathy, hopelessness, depression, dissociation, low energy. Some of us are shaped in something called our sympathetic nervous system. It's the polar opposite. So this state is all about the doing. This is where anxiety, worry, frustration, fear, terror, rage lives. Restlessness, we can't sleep, I'm always on the go. And your partner's like, do you really need to do all those emails today? And you're like, yes, I have to. If I don't do it today, the world's going to explode if I don't do it right now. And you keep your house a certain way. You chop the pillows in the middle and it has to be done that way. And if you can't do it that way, then you're not going to be able to sleep because that's what has to happen. That's your sympathetic nervous system. Go, go, go. Someone texts you and they don't use punctuation. You're like, oh my God, are they mad at me? Is it something I said at dinner last night? Is it? It's all sympathetic. It's kind of like the game of whack-a-mole. You control one thing and then it's another thing and another and another and another. So that's another state within our nervous system that people hang out in. There's this other one called freeze, very common. It's equal parts your sympathetic, so lots of energy, mixed with this dorsal system, which is shutdown. So it's the experience of all this energy inside, but I'm trapped in it. A very simple one, so say somebody wants to, I don't know, start a business, and they're like, oh, I really need to do this, I'm behind, and someone else is going to get the idea, and then you sit down at your computer, and then you feel blank, and you can't even think of anything. And then you feel like you need to take a nap, but you have to do the thing, but you can't do the thing, but you have to do the thing, but you can't do the thing. Or people have this around their finances, or around dating, or around having that tough conversation with their partner, and you ruminate, but you don't do it, but you ruminate, but you don't do it. That's freeze. And then we have this state of regulation, which is what we all want, called our ventral vagal complex. That's it. It is the only way to have a fulfilling life, is to be predominantly there. Not all the time, but predominantly. And that's where connection, curiosity, play, joy, presence, peace, freedom, we feel like we're flowing down the river of life instead of paddling upstream. This is how we have health in our bodies and so many other things. So we all have this vagal tone, so a place that we hang out, primarily one of those four places. And what's so exciting is we can change our vagal tone. It's literally like working out. So our autonomic nervous system is malleable and shapeable. And that means if I hang out in sympathetic, that I have anxiety all the time, we can actually change that so that your new home base is this place of regulation, or if you're shut down or if you're frozen. And we do that through something called consistent neural exercises, or that's one of the ways. And that literally is like a rep at the gym. So if you consistently regulate your nervous system throughout the day, moments of regulation, and it doesn't mean that you feel like $10 million. I used to say $1 million, but like, you know, $10 million, $20 million, you know, maybe when I was 15. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what number that is now, $1 billion. So you won't feel great, but you'll feel a little bit better.
So what is that rep at the gym?
So what most people do, though, is when the house is on fire, so they're really dysregulated, then they want something to help. That doesn't work. So imagine I went to the gym and I said, like, okay, Sammy and Sammy, I was going to say Sammy's, that's weird. I worked out once. I did deadlifts once. Yeah. Why is my butt not bigger? I don't know what's going on. And you're like, and you're like, when did you do it last? It was like 3 months ago before this time. You'd be like, well, that's funny that you don't know how working out works. You have to actually keep doing it. The nervous system is the same way. But generally speaking, what people do is they only want to pull for a tool when they're really in distress. And it won't work because I haven't done the consistent working out of my nervous system. So we all have, when I'm working with people, I give a whole therapeutic, kind of like a toolbox of therapeutic regulating tools. And I can share a couple here.
I'd love that.
And we all have them in our own life. So it's literally anything that registers as good for you that supports you to be more here and present. That's really different than, like, I like having a glass of wine personally, but that isn't a regulating tool. That actually, that in many ways people use that as a coping strategy, so to disconnect from their bodies. But for me, literally I go on what I call wonder walks, and I imagine that everything doesn't have a name because that takes you out of your cortical thinking brain, and I experience it like a toddler. Kids have a lot to teach us, and so do animals. Like, squirrels can teach you a lot. They're so present. That's actually what we're all trying to, we're just all trying to come back to our animal selves, that we're just present and listening to our intuition. And does that make sense?
Mrs. Rogers.
Yeah, truly Mrs. Rogers.
It's the cutest thing ever.
In the best way. But Sam and I were just having this conversation the other night about craving a certain depth from friends and also craving a certain level of lighthearted joy.
Yeah.
And we both have dogs and we're obsessed with our dogs.
Same.
And when we were talking about it, I was literally looking at Sam's dog, River, who's my nephew. I love him with my whole heart. And I'm like, honestly, I think having a dog around makes us better people.
It does.
And what you said registers so perfectly with that.
Well, I think the reason why we love animals so much and babies is because they regulate our nervous systems. We have something called mirror neurons, which means your nervous system is picking up on mine right now. If I was dysregulated, you would feel it and you wouldn't feel good being around me.
Right.
My job, actually, as a practitioner, is to really work on my own nervous system. Because you know, whether you think you know or not, you do. And I know what's happening in yours because
you can feel
we're reading it all the time. Our nervous systems are. So a regulated nervous system regulates a nervous system. Mm. So your dog is literally healing you. Their nervous system regulates yours. My dogs, one just passed away a few months ago, saved my life, literally. Thank you. But there, for many people, they're one of the first experiences of where you can totally be yourself. Love is not conditional whatsoever. It's a secure attachment. So they are present and available for you. And their a system's ability to maintain regulation, well, animals know what to do with dysregulation. They're more of an expert than any expert you've ever met before. Because think about if your dog gets a bath or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, mine hates baths.
Right, same.
He gets really anxious. Mm-hmm. And then after that, what does he do? Does he like read a book on anxiety? He's like, I think I'm gonna listen to a podcast on anxiety. What do you do with anxiety now? No, he does a running jag. And he like gets crazy and sprints around my house.
The zoomies
like,
for sure.
Yes. That's a regulating tool. What they're doing is saying, I have dysregulation in my body. I
shake
do not want to be with this. I need to get it out of me. Or they go chew a bone. All of these things are getting the activation out of their bodies.
Oh my gosh. So for your human, you know, go-tos beyond wonder walks, I love that. I'm not going to chew a bone, but I love watching my dog do it. What else can we do for ourselves?
So breathing can either regulate us or dysregulate us. So if you're in a state of shutdown, our system doesn't have any energy in it. It's conserving energy. So we actually need to rev that up a little bit, but not too much. If you bring too much energy in your body, you're just going to shut down again. So a really simple breathing cycle would be a two-part fast inhale and exhale through your mouth. Through your mouth brings more energy in. So literally like this, and rest. Mm. You can do that two or three more times. That just brought energy in my system, which can bring us out of that state of shutdown. If you're in your sympathetic nervous system, that's your system literally thinks you're running from a lion. We have not evolved past when we were hunting and gathering. So it literally thinks that, which is why people ask me like, why can't I sleep? What do you think you'd be able to sleep if a grizzly bear was chasing you? No way.
And there's so many situations, I feel like, in our day-to-day now that are presenting like these lions.
Oh, yeah.
We're living
constantly.
In it.
Our whole society is meant to dysregulate us. Like, it's
my gosh.
Everything about it. We have to combat it, really, because it's so dysregulating.
I think back to, you know, someone hundreds of years ago, if not thousands of years ago, running away from a lion. And meanwhile, we're like running away from toxic ex-boyfriends. We're like,
or emails or billboards everywhere.
Yes.
Or the person that honked at me with the 10 million cars in LA.
Yeah.
Right. All of that.
Like literal lions and grizzly bears.
Yeah, our nervous system can't handle that. Evolution happens really slow. So just to name, like, regardless of your trauma history, if you live on a commune and you're farming and you're living communally, you're doing great probably. Or you at least are giving yourself the things you need.
Yeah.
If you live in a city, if you are inside the majority of the day, if you have a high stress job and aren't connecting regularly with people, that means I'm not, like, if I'm a plant, I'm watering myself with vinegar.
Mm.
I look at a Zoom screen a lot because I teach around the world. So I have to combat that because that's not conducive for being regulated. So we have to be doing things to regulate ourselves, which supports us to not go into deeper states of dysregulation.
Mm-hmm. So what's a tool for that specific one that we could do? Say we're in midday work emails. We've been going. We're like, holy crap, taking a pause. Mm-hmm. I am in a high vibration right now.
Sympathetic. Let's say.
Okay, sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I was just about to say anyway, so perfect.
Yeah.
If you're in this state, we already have all this energy in our body. We don't want to add more energy. You know how like breath work and cold plunges have become super popular? They're great sometimes. They're not great all the time. And this frustrates me as a expert in this work that there's like a one size fits all that's told to us if you look online. That's not actually true. So if you are in a heightened sympathetic and then you go to do hyperventilating breath work, you're literally telling your nervous system, the lion's closer.
Oh, God.
So you're doing the opposite of what you want to do, which is why a lot of people end a session. They might have a big cathartic experience. I would have a big cathartic experience if I was running from a lion, too. But then they end it and they feel kind of out of it. If you ever end a breathwork class and you feel fuzzy at all, just a little like spacey, that means you just dysregulated yourself more and now you're in dorsal. And now you're training your nervous system to be more dysregulated. Wow. We do not want to do that. So instead, simple breathing cycle is a 4-7-8 breath. So if you inhale shorter than you exhale, exhale longer, it brings the parasympathetic nervous system online. Essentially what that means is it discharges that energy that's in your body. So inhaling through your nose for 4 seconds, then you hold your breath for 7 seconds, and then you exhale through your mouth like you're blowing out a candle. That part's important because it slows the rate at which the air is leaving your body. And do that 3 times. And that will help calm the overwhelm of energy in your body. So that's a really powerful one. And then just a couple other things. Vibration regulates us because the nervous system, one of the way it communicates is through vibration, or we can communicate to it. So tapping is a really one. If you look on my page, you can find tapping sequences. I don't want to go through the whole thing right now, but there's meridian lines on our body that we can tap on. And our ventral system, so regulation, is located in our face. So if we tap on specific areas on our face, it brings that regulation online. Vibrational sounds bring regulation. So there's a sound that comes from Peter Levine's body of work. He's a very famous person in the world of somatic trauma resolution. And the sound VU, specifically when made in a low register, so lower than your speaking voice, can help speak to the vagus nerve and the nerve endings and bring regulation to our system. So not like this, VU. I'm making that sound all up here in my nasal passages and in my throat. We want to send it down to our gut or our viscera. And it sounds super duper weird, but I'm going to make the sound so people know what to do. It's like this. And you want to drop it as low as you can.
Wow.
So feel the vibration going down.
Very important. Try.
Great. And if you do it a few times, you'll notice that your voice will drop more.
Wow.
So we want it to drop, the register of your voice.
Yeah, it's
to
like
drop.
Not a natural maybe state to be in, which is probably why it's great as well.
So yeah, that is the vibration itself that's actually talks to our nervous system. So that's really helpful. Swaying, bilateral tapping. So when we connect left and right sides of our body, literally you can cross your arms and tap on your left and right legs, left and right
arms. So I do that in EMDR.
Yes. You do that. They have you do that because it brings regulation to your system while you're bringing up a memory that has charge or activation to it.
Yes.
So that's really helpful. And by the way, this is all really intuitive. Think about if there's a baby crying, the baby is dysregulated. Babies don't know how to regulate themselves. They rely on the adults around them. Baby's crying. What's the impulse of a healthy human? To go pick the baby up, right? Where do we put the baby usually? The baby's crying, they're in their sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is located in our chest and our mid-back, where your heart is. So what do? We put the baby on our chest and we tap their back, where their sympathetic nervous system is, tapping regulates, and we sway, regulates, and we usually hum. Human beings know how to do this. It's just coming back into the knowingness that, so just to name, like that's innate. We know how to, we just have to, it's like remembering, getting out of our mind and getting in our body.
Can you speak to when someone is stepping into this work? And I can say for myself, I did find safety. And what ended up happening is I found safety in my partner. And so I got into a romantic relationship and he took me on a joyride because he made me feel so safe. And I ended up seeing so much of myself. And that was these beautiful emotions that maybe I did separate myself from because I needed to. And I love just side note, the relationship you see your body was doing that for you. So just want to honor that. And I feel like having so much compassion for ourselves is something we talk to so much. But say someone has not found that safety yet because they are living inside still the unsafety place. So maybe how can they find that? And also number two, like speaking to for myself, I went through a lot of discomfort, which felt actually really wrong. Like I almost wanted to go back to the place that felt really comfortable, but really I was in such discomfort and really leaning into that to grow and to lean into myself.
Well, healing's not for the faint of heart, you know? It's why a lot of people don't do it. I just sounded like Mrs. Rogers, didn't I?
Faint of heart. The best way.
That sounds so fucking old. Then I have to swear in there because it makes you sound less like Mrs. Rogers. So yeah, I'm like, I'm only 38. Why do I sound 90? So most people don't do it because it's hard. And it means, here's what it means. Instead of avoiding things like, la, 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 I'm in pain, avoiding it, I actually have to look at the scary thing. Look it right in the eye. And then I have to walk towards it. And the only way out is through. That's true. The only way out is through. Meaning I have to go back into my body where all of this has lived. And then I have to get rid of it so that I can be free. And we are the light. I say this a lot. We are the light at the end of our tunnel. We need other mm-hmm. people, but we are the light. We are the answer. Our systems know how to do it. They just need to be shown the way. And the part of this is building our capacity to hold dysregulation. And we do that really slow, meaning we're in someone who's really good at this work would never overwhelm your system. There's no benefit to that. Instead, it's, I think of it like we all have a trauma jug inside mm-hmm. of us, like a gallon jug, all of your lived experience. And a lot of us have like that tightly wrapped up. Sometimes it feels like you go to some therapist or even like, you know, I don't know, a coach or something, and it's like they dump the whole thing out. Like, let's talk about everything. Yeah. Or let's go back to it. Mm-hmm. And that just has you re-experience it. With trauma work, what we're doing is imagining that has a spigot at the bottom, and we turn the spigot and we take a little bit out, a mm-hmm. handful. And can I be with this amount of this activation from when I was 4 years old and there was no one there to help me, mm-hmm. or when I was 18 and this happened, and I feel that in my body? We want to feel an amount that's uncomfortable, but it doesn't feel like I'm engulfed or I've lost mm-hmm. control. And that's really the nuance of an expert can help us guide our system to know what that is and how much, and then shepherd our system out of it. Mm-hmm. And then we dump it out, like literally dump it out. It's gone from you forever. Mm. This work is so exciting to me. I mean, maybe it's not Aww. Exciting to everyone, but it's exciting to me
yeah.
that like if you do that in a session and you feel something, or just in your life, you let yourself feel it and you're actually able to get rid of it, mm-hmm. it's gone forever. Mm-hmm. And you do it again, it's gone forever. Until all of it's gone. Mm-hmm. And so the way that we do that is slowly building my capacity to feel it. And a simple thing that I think is just really important that you had mentioned earlier, I just wanted to say, is so much of the time what we're experiencing has nothing to do with today. Mm-hmm. But nobody knows that. We think that has everything to do with today, that like my partner showed up 20 minutes late and I am just so devastated and I feel like I'm gonna die, and I think it's about them and them being inconsiderate, when no, it's actually about me being abandoned. Mm. Not that that's okay, but it's maybe 10% is about that and 90% is about this thing in the past.
Right, but the reaction maybe is really intense.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So a really simple tool is not when you're dysregulated in that moment, because you're gonna answer yes to it, but later when you're feeling a little better, is to ask yourself, did my reaction match the circumstance? Did that actually match? And if it didn't, I want you to ask yourself, what does this remind me of? What is the first time I remember feeling this? And see what arises. It's gonna tell you the origin of it. And then now we know this is the thing I actually need to work on. And then from that place, really simple relational, because it's so beautiful that you said this, your fiance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our relationship, we all are hurt relationally. Trauma happens with other people. And that means healing happens with other people, whether it's working with someone like me or getting into a really safe relationship, whether that's romantic or friendship. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, so much healing can happen, or a pet even. Mm-hmm. It creates for us the possibility of what never was in the present moment. And I think to me, like, you know, Hollywood makes romantic relationships seem like they're all just supposed to be like sexy all the time, like that's it. I mean, that's a part of it, they're really fun. But on a deeper level, long-term mm-hmm. partnership is really about like helping each other to become who we really are mm. and to become more free. And then life is so beautiful together when we can do that. So being in a relationship, again, could be with a pet, could be with a friend, could be with a lover or a partner. Mm-hmm. If they are safe, they're going to create healing for you, and vice versa. And we all want to lean into that. How can I find safety in my relationships? Because it propels things forward in a really powerful way.
Wow. You are amazing. I feel like you are putting so much language and detail to things that I can personally relate to mm-hmm. and have experienced my entire life, and even something that happened last night. Our whole team got together for dinner mm-hmm. and I'm in town. We try to get as much time in person as possible, and we were actually playing a card game where we all pick a card. And what we didn't realize at the time was that all of these questions that were being asked on the cards, we're not really strangers in the self-love yeah. edition, they were all questions that made us each reflect on our past.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, every single one of us at the table was crying.
Mm.
And what we all didn't realize was the pattern of us speaking about our past and the trauma and sharing it so openly and then realizing that the other version of cards was all about the future. And we started laughing like, oh my gosh, how exciting and fun would that part be?
Yeah.
But it really is the work that is so important of understanding what we've been through that does really feel like that gallon jug that you described. Mm-hmm. And powering through it, being the light at the end of your own tunnel. I love that so much. And doing the work to not only feel safe for yourself, allow someone else to help you feel safe within yourself. Gosh, I mean, I feel like I've done parts of this and I'm so excited to do more of it. But to have your language now and the scientific understanding to what I've been taking on little by little, just thank you for making sense of it.
Mm, thank you so much for letting me be here to do this with you. And I just think, you know, everybody here on this planet, maybe this isn't so much science, but just a belief after being with this work so long and with so many people, is we all have things that we're here to do and experience, not just do like career, but to experience. Mm-hmm. And there's no one on our individual path except for us, meaning like you can't miss what's for you. There's no race to it because we're the only one on that path. And the only way to all of those things, to the things that we desire, is our healing. That's it. It's the answer to unlock the life it is for us. And so it's really empowering to me that like, oh, if I do this, then I can leave this world in this lifetime whenever I take my last breath and say, I did it. I did the thing. And I don't think there's really much more we could want or ask for than that. And and the answer to all of that is within us.
Mm.
And that's really powerful.
That is the coolest guest.
So
right
powerful.
There.
I think what I'm feeling so much of your presence and your energy and your devotion and passion is that I could be sitting here feeling so sorry for everything that you have been through. Mm-hmm. And I do have so much room in my heart, and we're holding so much space for you, and just also grateful for you feeling vulnerable enough to mm-hmm. share. But at that same time, instead of me feeling sorry, I actually feel like you have this really contagious, positive perspective of gratitude towards the negative experiences and the straight up trauma that you've overcome, because you are now this healed version of self that gets to do that same work for so many of us others who need to do
the
same.
I agree. I even think the word experience that you keep using, like, I think it's a beautiful gift to receive. Like, we are all here experiencing at the end of the day. And I think when we can allow ourselves to just be in our own experience and do what's best for us and know that the answers are within us.
That's right.
It's really like inspiring and also a beautiful thing to know that the most important relationship I feel is the one with yourself. The fact that we have all of the answers within our own experiences and our bio-individuality, like, it is so powerful. And I'm leaving so inspired and excited to actually dive in continuously into my healing journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you both for having me. I'm really grateful.
And I am so excited. Everyone who has not been following Sarah, definitely, Sarah, I'll have you share where they can follow you. But also, I love all of your like workshops. You like offer so much goodness. So if you are like, I want to dive in, I want to know more, I know that like her Instagram gives so much free content, but I do know that there's so many courses you offer and programs that I'm like already obsessed with. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So where can everyone find you, Sarah?
You can find me on Instagram, and my handle is Sarah B. Coaching or sarahbaldwincoaching.com. And yeah, I've got lots of free resources. You can actually take a whole quiz. It'll teach you about your nervous system and give you tools. So, and programs and other things like that too.
You are a gift. Thank you for being you, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much for being here. You listening to this episode is you saying yes to living the dream life you absolutely deserve. We release new Transform episodes every Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing.
Also, we would love to hear from you, so leave us a review. And if you include your Instagram handle, we might even reach out and gift you a complimentary form membership. You can also follow us on Instagram at Transform, and then at Sammy Spalter and at Sammy Clark. We love you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.